This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Starting tomorrow, you'll need one of those real IDs at airports, federal buildings, and military bases. We'll find out what the change means for you with a leader at the State Division of Motor Vehicles.
That's coming up. Now it's WPR's Spring Member Drive, and WPR Director Sarah Ashworth is here with us in the studio. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
This is the last day, final hours of our spring member drive, and it's listener donations that make up the largest source of funding for WPR programs. If you've been meaning to give, now is the time because the drive ends at 6 o'clock. So go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We are closing in on the final hours. Member drives are an important time to make sure the funding is in place for the news, for the information that you rely on from WPR. Your gift funds Wisconsin Today, as well as all the other WPR shows that you value. You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a large piece of funding for WPR, in fact, the biggest and most reliable slice, if you will, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, they are truly important, it is your contribution that makes such a huge difference. WPR is this amazing service that it is, thanks to your support. So keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you for being a WPR listener. Thank you for listening right now to Wisconsin Today. And thank you to everyone who's already a member. It's listener support, it's your support that makes WPR an unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and far beyond, too.
And because WPR is your radio home, support it now. Make WPR's trustworthy journalism, these thought-provoking conversations, oh, the calm you can feel and the escape with our classical music, this is possible with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think the main thing for me that Wisconsin Public Radio is just this comforting thing, as well as the information in the news. It's something that I start with my day with and I end my day with, and I just find so much pleasure in listening to the stories that are told, and really appreciate the in-depth way that the news is told, that it's not just a headline. There's much more to it, and I really feel like I get an understanding of the issues of the day from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It is our spring member drive final day here. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Sarah Ashworth. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for WPR, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you set it at, it has an important impact.
We are so proud of the listener support we have here. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And think about how your gift supports the stories, the programs, these conversations that keep you connected to Wisconsin and keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, and you can add the latest WPR t-shirt to your wardrobe when you give today. It's soft, it's stylish, it represents Wisconsin. It's a shirt that lets everyone know that you're a WPR listener. You can ask for yours, you can take a look at it at WPR.org, but you can ask for it as a gift when you give $20 a month or more. You can make that contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And while you're at it, become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Mary in Mount Horeb says, listening to WPR enriches my life. I learned so much about living a better and fulfilling life. Mary, thank you so much for that comment. Join with your gift now. It's powerful. It really helps. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
This is Wisconsin Today. After years of pushing the deadline back, the Department of Homeland Security is rolling out its requirement for real IDs at airports, federal buildings, and military bases starting tomorrow.
There's a good chance you already have a real ID. It's a driver's license with a star in the upper right-hand corner. But if you don't, you need to get a plan in motion if you want to fly anywhere in the U.S.
Here to tell us what we need to know about real IDs is Tommy Winkler, Administrator for the Wisconsin Division of Motor Vehicles. Tommy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, good morning, Rob. Thanks for having me.
We've been seeing for years, Tommy notices, okay, here's the deadline, and then, oh, there goes the deadline. It keeps getting bumped back. The deadline is actually tomorrow, right? It's happening.
Yes, it's finally here. So enforcement of the Real ID Act begins tomorrow, May 7th. And the good news for us here in Wisconsin, Wisconsin's Real ID ready. We have over 65% of the driver licenses and ID cards that are valid out there today in Wisconsin are Real ID compliant, which is fantastic. It's almost 3.2 million. So really good news. We have been issuing Real ID compliant driver license since January of 2013. So we've been doing this for over 12 years now, and we've given every Wisconsinite that opportunity to get that Real ID driver license or ID card at time of renewal or original issuance since then.
I will admit, Tommy, last time I renewed my driver's license, I thought my old one wasn't Real ID. Turns out it was. How can we look at our driver's license and see if it is Real ID or not?
Yeah, so if you pull out your driver license or ID card, take a look at the upper right-hand corner of that document and you'll see a star. It's a black circle with a star in the middle of it. If you have that on your driver license or ID, you're Real ID compliant. You're good to go.
What situations are going to require the Real ID where that non-compliant driver's license isn't going to do?
Yeah, so beginning tomorrow, if the most common situation is if you're going to fly, if you're going to board a commercial aircraft to pass through the TSA security checkpoint, you're going to need to present a Real ID compliant form of identification. For many, that will be a Real ID driver license or identification card issued by your state. But we also remind folks that a valid U.S. passport or passport card is also an acceptable form of identification. So if you don't have a Real ID compliant deal or ID right now, but you have a valid passport or passport card, you're good to go as well. The other common scenarios would be entering a federal facility or entering a military base. Those are the other two times when you would be expected to present Real ID compliant identification.
And if I am not going to do any of those things, fly or go into these federal facilities, I can drive around freely without worrying if I don't have that Real ID, just a normal driver's license, right?
That is correct. Just a normal Wisconsin driver license is valid for driving a motor vehicle or presenting as form of identification in other scenarios at businesses and that. The Real ID requirements are at the federal level for flying or entering those federal facilities or military bases.
We're talking to Tommy Winkler from the Wisconsin Department of Motor Vehicles about the Real ID requirement. Enforcement starts tomorrow. Tommy, if someone's out there thinking, yeah, I don't have the Real ID, I want one, what do they need to do to get it?
Yeah, the first thing they should do is visit our DMV website. Go to wisconsindmv.gov, and you'll see link to information on the main page there for Real ID. The best thing to do is to start in our interactive driver license and ID card guide. What that is going to do is walk you through the documents that you need to bring with you when you're coming to get that Real ID. It's also going to allow that customer to start filling out the application ahead of time, so the information is in our system. And then the best part of this process is customers will have the opportunity to make an appointment for service at a DMV service center. And that will provide the customer, when they arrive, expedited service. Think of it as a Disney Lightning Pass that'll bring you to the front of the line and get you in and out in a short period of time. So wisconsindmv.gov, and go through that interactive driver license guide to prepare your trip.
We've heard some reports, Tommy, from other states saying there's a little bit of a crunch, people seeing the deadline coming, rushing to get their Real ID. What are things like in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so we're definitely seeing increased customer volume in our 80 service centers throughout the state. But I am proud to say we're doing a fantastic job keeping our wait times at or below 20 minutes or less in most of our offices. We've got a great DMV team here in Wisconsin, and we've got team members reprioritized to help support operations in our field service centers last week and this week to handle the increased customer volume. And those efforts, along with us reminding customers all vehicle title and registration transactions. Those can be done online, by mail, or with a third party. So if you've got a vehicle transaction, you don't need to come see us at a service center right now. Take advantage of one of those other service opportunities. That's going to help us give excellent service to all our customers here in Wisconsin.
For people who don't drive, don't have a driver's license, what do they need to do to get a compliant Real ID identification form?
Yeah, so the process is really the same for an identification card as it is for a driver's license. The same documentation to provide proof of name and date of birth and legal presence, identity, two proofs of address, all of those document requirements are the same. The process would be the same as well. They would hopefully use that interactive guide, fill out the application ahead of time and make that appointment for service, and then we'll issue them that Real ID compliant identification card.
I know you're not in charge of the airports or TSA screenings, things like that. What is your understanding about what they're expecting as people start to show up at airports tomorrow with or without Real ID?
Yeah, that's a great. What we're hearing is what I think the rest of the Wisconsinites are hearing through the media, and that's that if you do not have a Real ID compliant form of identification and you're flying on or after tomorrow, May 7th, that you should plan to arrive plenty early at the airports and you should expect to have some additional screening and a longer time getting through security checkpoint and possibly not getting through that security checkpoint. So again, we're just encouraging folks, if you've got a valid passport or passport identification card, please, that is also acceptable, Real ID identification. Bring that with you. There is a list on the TSA website of other forms of identification that are acceptable for Real ID purposes. Would encourage folks to look at that. And again, if you need to get that Real ID with us, go to our website, prepare your visit, make that service appointment, and we'll help get that product for you as quickly as possible.
Tommy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Appreciate you having me.
That's Tommy Winkler, Administrator for the Wisconsin Division of Motor Vehicles. We've been talking about what to get ready for as the Real ID requirement rolls out tomorrow. If you've been rushing to get that Real ID by tomorrow, tell us about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, Governor Tony Evers has stood firm against President Trump's border czar, who criticized Evers in recent days for a memo over how state employees should handle ICE agents who may show up at state offices. An attorney at the ACLU of Wisconsin responds to the developments. That conversation is ahead on WPR News.
This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, a White House immigration official says there could be consequences to a memo Governor Evers sent to state workers with guidance on what to do if ICE agents show up at state offices. We'll talk with a lawyer about that back and forth.
Now it's the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. WPR Director Sarah Ashworth is in the studio with us. Your support is super important. It powers the programs that keep you in the know and entertained.
That's how WPR works. The people who use it are the largest source of funding for it. You've been meaning to give, so do it now on the last day of this spring drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift during this spring member drive is so important because it directly supports your daily listening. The trustworthy reporting, the thought-provoking conversations you come here for are available thanks to you. Choose an amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the timely, helpful information, like we just heard, Rob, in the interview you did around Real ID, very practical information that we all need and so helpful to people. That's the kind of content you hear regularly on WPR and on Wisconsin Today. And WPR, the reason we are able to bring you such segments is because we are listener-supported. That means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, You make this hour and many, many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. It takes just a few minutes and you can make your gift.
Whether you've given before or you're making your first ever donation, sign up for ongoing monthly gifts.
You can choose the amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It only takes a few minutes, and once it's set up, your support for the programs that you value, it's always current.
A lot of the things you pay for improve your quality of life. Good coffee, maybe, locally brewed beer, dinner with friends, fun activity with the kids.
Well, WPR, listening to WPR, it's just like those other things that you believe are worth paying for. It enriches your life and it makes your day better. Support what's important to you. You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Do you have a WPR t-shirt collection? Or do you see others wearing a WPR t-shirt and wish you had one? Either way, you'll want our 2025 t-shirt, available now. This shirt features Wisconsin's beloved symbols.
A badger.
A muskie.
A robin.
And Wisconsin Public Radio, of course. Ask for your t-shirt when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Get that shirt at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. It's Wisconsin Today. Sarah Ashworth is in the studio with us. Your support during this spring member drive makes all the news stories and great conversations you enjoy on WPR possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose really does make a difference.
This is the last day of our spring member drive. It ends at 6 o'clock tonight. Your financial support right now on this last day and during this hour of Wisconsin Today is so important.
Your gift is a big part of what makes this program and all the shows you rely on and enjoy possible here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Take action right now on this last day of the drive with your gift at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
You're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. Whether you've been listening for years or just a few months, you can become part of our community of members, people who support the news, the information, and the music that they value.
If you've never given before, start with a gift maybe of $120, or better yet, spread it out through the year, an ongoing gift of 10 bucks a month. Your contribution of any amount makes you a member of WPR. And because the largest piece of our funding comes from members, you'll really make a difference. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552.
And this spring drive, we have another in our series of comfy WPR t-shirts. This is definitely a spring-like one. Mm-hmm. It's lavender and sort of orange and yellow and a lot of symbols that represent Wisconsin and also Wisconsin Public Radio. Let the world know you're a WPR fan with this. As I said, it's purple, it's orange, it's got Wisconsin-themed design on this cream-colored t-shirt. You can look at it at WPR.org and you can make your gift there as well. Or you can also call 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, that's fantastic. Thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you'd like. You can do that as well at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've heard from Brett in Seattle, Washington. I love that the reach of WPR is large. He says, I can always rely on WPR to keep me in touch with a place I care about so deeply.
Thank you so much, Brett. That's fantastic to hear. Glad we can travel to Washington with you. Glad we're there. We hear that a lot from people who leave Wisconsin, that they stay connected to the state with Wisconsin Public Radio, just like people who are in Wisconsin stay connected to each other and to things going on all over Wisconsin. Think about what Wisconsin Public Radio means to you, how much you count on us for connection and conversations and information and inspiration, and then understand that you make it happen when you give. Then make that gift online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.
Now to a look at the legal situation surrounding President Trump's border czar, Tom Homan. He fielded a question last week outside the White House about a memo that Governor Tony Evers sent to state workers last month.
The memo contained guidance on how to respond to immigration enforcement if agents were to show up at state offices. Here's Homan. This audio is from C-SPAN.
Wait to see what's coming.
Any updates on the military?
I meant what I said. You cannot support what we're doing. And you can support St. George City, that's what you want to do. But if you cross that line of impediment or knowingly harboring, concealing illegal alien, that is a felony. And we're treating that such.
In response, Governor Evers published a 3-minute video to Wisconsinites on Friday about what he described as chilling threats. Here's some of what Evers had to say.
I haven't broken the law. I haven't committed a crime. And I've never encouraged or directed anyone to break any laws or commit any crimes. But when President Trump's hand-picked appointee, Tom Homan, was asked about me and this guidance after he apparently threatened to arrest elected officials across the country, he said, wait till you see what's coming.
To discuss these tensions and how Wisconsin has become a focal point of federal immigration policy in recent days, we turn to Tim Muth, senior staff attorney at the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin. Tim, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
What exactly did this memo say to get the attention of President Trump's border czar, Tom Homan?
Well, I really wonder if he's even read the memo, because the memo's pretty unexciting, frankly. It simply tells state of Wisconsin employees that if someone shows up, if immigration officials show up at a state office, they should ask them to identify themselves, to provide any warrant or other information that they have, and to contact the state of Wisconsin's lawyers to help them interpret how they should respond to the immigration officials who show up at the office. Simply complying with Wisconsin law and with the Fourth Amendment.
Is it unusual in any way for a sitting governor to send a memo like this to throngs of state workers?
Well, it came out from the Department of Administration, not so much from the governor himself. And, you know, there are lots of questions being asked by people about what are our responsibilities. And so for the governor or the Department of Administration to answer those questions, I don't think is unusual.
Governor Evers had already been criticized by Republicans here in Wisconsin who believe this memo encourages state employees to break federal law by obstructing ICE agents. And we heard Assembly Speaker Robin Voss calling it a, quote, new low for Tony Evers. What are their arguments?
Well, their arguments seem to be that whatever the Trump administration and ICE agents ask for, they should get, regardless of whether or not it violates Wisconsin law or it violates the Fourth Amendment. And so if you think about all the information that our state agencies have, they have personal information about our health and medical care, about our education, about our finances and our taxes. And Wisconsin law requires that our state agencies protect our personal information. And so this memo is really just re-emphasizing that and asking ICE to comply with the requirements of Wisconsin law and the Fourth Amendment before information gets turned over. If ICE is complying with the laws, they shouldn't have any problem getting information that they are entitled to get. So the arguments from the Republicans that this is somehow blocking ICE activity, all it's blocking is ICE activity that doesn't comply with Wisconsin law or the Fourth Amendment.
I want to pull apart the words for a moment. you know, wait and see what's coming. It's a phrase that Border Czar Tom Holman had used just beforehand to talk about the possibility of arresting local leaders of sanctuary cities. And Evers interpreting these words to amount to a threat. What do you hear in Holman's rhetoric?
Well, Tom Holman has expressed before that he finds that, you know, people asserting their rights gets in the way of the mass deportation plan that the Trump administration has. And so these threats and intimidation toward local officials, state officials, is nothing new from Tom Holman and the Trump administration. And I think it's connected to the recent executive order signed by President Trump that threatens significant reductions of federal funding to any local government that they believe is enacting what they call sanctuary policies. It's all part of a pattern of executive overreach attempting to get state and local officials to be in lockstep with the mass deportation efforts of the Trump administration.
We are looking into Governor Tony Evers' clash with Border Czar Tom Holman and how Wisconsin is increasingly becoming a focus of federal immigration policy. Tim Muth is here, senior staff attorney at the ACLU of Wisconsin. Tim, this all happened just a week after Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan was arrested and charged with two federal counts of impeding immigration enforcement. And Holman used the same term to talk about Evers, calling it the line of impediment, referring to obstructing ICE. What is that line legally?
There are federal statutes about hiding people or helping them evade arrest. And that is the federal statute that Tom Holman is talking about enforcing. But it is not a violation of the harboring statute to insist that ICE agents comply with the law, that ICE agents have warrants at enabling them to get information or to arrest people. It's not a violation of that statute to say that we are not going to voluntarily turn over information that we are not required to turn over. And there seems to be this belief on the part of the Trump administration that unless you are doing everything we ask, even things that you are not legally required to do, then you are obstructing and getting in the, and violating the law. And that's simply not the case.
So if securing a lawyer is considered impeding federal law, could that be setting a dangerous precedent?
Well, calling a lawyer and getting advice about how to respond to a warrant is not illegal. And to the extent Tom Holman is claiming that that is some way obstruction, he is simply misinterpreting and intimidating state and local officials in a way that we should all be concerned about.
To take a step back here for a moment, how might this kind of enforcement at the federal level or this politicization of the law, how could that affect sanctuary cities in this moment?
You know, I think what we are seeing, especially with the threat to reduce or eliminate federal funding toward cities that don't cooperate. And we should be clear, there is no definition of what is a sanctuary city. That's not a legal term that exists anywhere in the law. It's just a label that is being applied to places where local officials have decided we have more important uses for our resources in fighting crime, in serving victims of crime, in serving our communities, than being in lockstep with the deportation machine. And so these threats of against sanctuary cities are really the federal government wanting to say, we're going to decide what you need to do, and really rejecting local control over resources.
You know, Tim, we see grandstanding in politics right now. We see this inflammatory rhetoric, and we see it especially online as well. But what could happen to Governor Evers if the Trump administration sees this through?
Well, the memo that was sent out, I am confident will never be by itself the basis for any kind of criminal prosecution. If state employees are following what is set out in that memo, that cannot be a basis, and no, I don't believe any judge would allow to continue an attempt to prosecute Governor Evers or members of his administration just based on this memo.
So you see it would be thrown out of court pretty expeditiously. Okay.
Very quickly.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks for the invitation.
That is Tim Muth, senior staff attorney at the ACLU of Wisconsin, and we've been talking about the dispute between Governor Evers and President Trump's border czar Tom Homan over how state and local officials should respond to immigration enforcement and what constitutes obstruction of justice.
Coming up, Wisconsin filmmakers make the case for state tax incentives and other assistance to bring more movie production to the state.
And if there's no film tax incentives, and especially no film office, it's just a no-go for many and most productions.
That's up next here on Wisconsin Today. It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Okay, what do the movies Back to School, Public Enemies, and The Straight Story all have in common? They were filmed, at least in part, here in Wisconsin.
But in spite of Wisconsin's rich tradition of filmmaking, our state lags behind most of the country when it comes to attracting filmmakers. Wisconsin is one of just three states that doesn't have a film office, according to SAG Indy, an organization that promotes independent filmmakers. And Wisconsin doesn't offer tax incentives for film producers.
While President Trump is talking about a 100% tariff on foreign films to boost domestic production, Wisconsin has an incentive plan on the table. Governor Tony Evers calls for the creation of a film office and tax incentives in his latest budget proposal, and there is some Republican support for the idea.
Two filmmakers with Wisconsin ties join us now to make the case for the changes. Suzanne Gerva is a Wisconsin-based film director and producer who makes documentaries and narrative films. She previously worked for DreamWorks. She's on the steering committee of the film advocacy group Action Wisconsin. And Nathan Deming is an award-winning filmmaker from the state who specializes in making narrative shorts and features. Nathan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Suzanne, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're very thankful for this.
Suzanne, let's start with you. You've worked here in Wisconsin. You've also worked on Hollywood blockbuster type movies. do states need things like a film offices and tax credits to get on the radar of studios to come and film here?
Absolutely. So I worked at DreamWorks Studios and a couple other places. But the first question that when you're getting ready to shoot is, and where you're going to choose to shoot your film is, do they have film tax incentives? And if there's no film tax incentives, and especially no film office, it's just a no-go for many and most productions.
Nathan, let's talk about those film offices. We are just one of four states here in Wisconsin. I understand without one of these things, what does a film office do in a state that has one?
We're actually one of three now that got updated a month ago, so we're slipping even more. Well, the film office is sort of the first resource that any filmmaker, from an independent filmmaker like me all the way up to studio filmmakers and people like Suzanne, it's your first point of resource wherever you're going to film. And I remember distinctly graduating from film school 10 years ago and wanting to stay and work in Wisconsin, but there were no incentives and there was no film office. So basically there was no way for me to, you know, build a network, reach out to other filmmakers, or find just any path forward in the industry. So I ended up having to move to Los Angeles to get my start. And I really don't want that for the future of the next generation of students who we train like 500 every year, and they just graduate and most of them leave. And beyond that, like, just want to make sure that productions don't get scared away because they don't think we have our stuff together.
Suzanne, even if we did have these things in place, I mean, since we haven't been a big film production state, we may not have that infrastructure, even with a tax credit, even with a film office. Our studio's going to look here and say, hey, you just don't have that infrastructure we need.
You know what? We do have a lot of infrastructure here already. The amount of filmmakers that we have here that are working is really a large number. And they all are leaving. They work in Illinois. They work now in Minnesota. And they work all throughout the country. So we do have a lot of very talented people here. So we have to grow the industry here. And we can do it through the tax incentives. But we do have a lot of people already working here. And a lot of expats, as we say, who want to move back to Wisconsin to be able to work here and not have to live in LA or New York.
Nathan, people might think the movies and think, the Marvels and Mission Impossibles and whatnot. On a smaller scale, what kind of productions could we see here in Wisconsin? Things along the lines of what you've worked on in your career.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the past few months. Wisconsin had two major independent films actually make money and get national recognition, and that's Hundreds of Beavers and Green and Gold, both shot in Wisconsin. I think we have the cultural capital to, like, reach other people, but we also have passionate filmmakers, other than just me, who are willing right now to work in Wisconsin despite the fact that it's currently an uphill battle simply because of the lack of film incentives. I know that Green and Gold in particular, which was shot in Door County, and is a very specific Wisconsin story about, you know, involving the Green Bay Packers, it had repeated offers to go film in Kentucky instead, you know, so they would have just faked the whole thing. And luckily the filmmakers stuck to their guns and said, no, we're staying in Wisconsin. But it's just not everybody's going to make that decision.
Suzanne, people might be listening thinking, yeah, I guess it'd be cool if we had movies here, but what's in it for us? What is the economic benefit, as you see it, of luring in more movie production into the state?
So film production does bring money to the state. So, for example, a film that just wrapped, I think, two Fridays ago in Door County was a $1 million production, and they spent $600,000 in Door County within 3 weeks. And this is an off-tourist time. So that's a big boom for the local economy, for businesses. So like restaurants, hotels, car services, a carpenter, a florist, all those people become filmmakers. I believe that film used a lot of local talent. So that it is an economic boom, an economic developer.
Nathan, if I'm a policymaker, I might say, yeah, that sounds good. But if I take this investment and we use it to lure, I don't know, a food processing plant or something, well, that's going to be open every day through the year. If we get the same money and put it toward a movie, well, that movie production comes and then it goes. What do you say to concerns that, you know, we're just bringing in maybe temporary economic boosts here if we do this?
Well, I don't think it's either or at all. And it's hard to also estimate the long-term impact of a movie. All of our neighboring states have evidence of this, but one of my favorites is in Dyersville, Iowa, where my grandmother, near where my grandmother grew up, is where they filmed Field of Dreams. And that still gets 300,000 visitors per year in a corner of Iowa that arguably would not see a lot of tourism otherwise. And you just never know. There's an X factor with movies, unlike a lot of things, which is you just don't know the long-term legacy. I mean, look to states like Georgia and New Mexico, who they've brought in a ton of money through these pretty modest programs. That's the other thing. It's not like, you know, this isn't a huge investment overall. It's a pretty modest thing to do, and it brings in a lot of money. And then New Mexico gets shows like Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, and suddenly I'm on a road trip with my friends through Albuquerque, and I got to pull off and see the hotel where, you know, this thing happened in Breaking Bad. You just don't know what's going to pop off, and then suddenly everybody has to go to Appleton. Everybody has to go to Prairie du Chien because, you know, that big hit show takes place there.
Talking about a proposal to create a Wisconsin film office and tax incentives for filmmakers, we've got two independent filmmakers with Wisconsin ties with us, Nathan Deming and Suzanne Gerva. Suzanne, you've worked, again, with DreamWorks, big studios. Will big Hollywood studios kind of acknowledge the existence of Wisconsin? Can we be on their radar?
Absolutely. So I'm going to bring up another thing here, too, about the creative brain drain. We educate 500 to 600 students per year in media and film. UWM is one of the top universities in the country for film production. Those people have all had to go elsewhere. Those people are sitting in studio seats. Those people are producers. So they all are ambassadors for the state of Wisconsin. And so a lot of people are from Wisconsin, and they do want to use Wisconsin as their background for their storytelling. Many producers I know and directors always say they're looking for the next location. They want to get a location that's fresh. Ethan Hawke has mentioned he'd like to shoot here. Mark Ruffalo, Scott Frank. These are people who we know want to come here to shoot. So yes, we don't have to be discovered. People know who we are.
And Nathan, as you talk, as you kind of lobby for these changes, there's a proposal on the table, of course. Do you feel like people are hearing this, that there's enthusiasm to do something like this in the state legislature?
I took my film February around the state in February a couple months ago, and part of I did like a Q&A about the film after every screening, and you know I was talking about the movie, but then afterwards I would always plug Action Wisconsin. I would plug the effort to bring film incentives here and describe why it was beneficial. And I'm not kidding you. Everywhere, I didn't get a single opposition to it. I always had people, once they kind of heard about it, they were like, "Oh, that makes a lot of sense. That would be nice." There's a lot of pride I think people have in their Wisconsin identity. And if we allow other people to tell our story, I think that's what's happened for decades, is that the coasts or other bigger media markets get to tell Wisconsin stories. And then we end up with this flyover status or, you know, a Fargo image to them. But we know that's not what our life is like. I think once we get our voices heard, it's, you know, no limit to where we can go.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nathan Deming is a filmmaker from Wisconsin who specializes in making narrative shorts and features. Suzanne Gerva is a Wisconsin-based film director who worked on several blockbusters, including Saving Private Ryan and Gladiator.
Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive, last day here. I'm Kate Archer Kent in the studio with Sarah Ashworth, and we don't have much longer to ask for your support. Listener support is the largest source of funding for the programs you love, and that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-powered. That means that your support makes WPR's news, analysis, conversations, and weekend fun available not only for yourself, but for the entire community, too. Thank you for making WPR's public service mission possible with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552.
We just checked in on the push to build a film industry here in Wisconsin and what it would mean for communities all over the state if Wisconsin offered tax credits to film production companies. And developments like this could affect every corner of the state. And we bring you the latest developments without a paywall. WPR is listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes on this last day and make your gift.
You can celebrate your support for Wisconsin Public Radio with our new WPR t-shirt. We've all been really excited to see this shirt and get some for ourselves as well. It's a cream-colored shirt that features Wisconsin state symbols. There's a badger on there. There's a wood violet. There's a radio tower as well. Yes, a cow, of course. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People talk about the high quality of life here in Wisconsin. We have these beautiful state parks, a respected university system, wonderful libraries. Wisconsin Public Radio is in the mix. It's also part of the high quality of life here in Wisconsin.
On WPR, you enjoy lively discussions. There's in-depth news. There's weekend entertainment. You can invest in the variety that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio with your donation now. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like to listen to WPR because it informs me, enriches me, and also kind of challenges me. It's just wonderful. I listen the minute I wake up on the way to work, when the work day is done, in the evening, and we even have the radio on for our pets during the day. I became a sustaining member, first of all, because of the convenience. It helps me be a part of WPR in a significant way because it's ongoing. It's a way to keep the mission going, and my small part, I think, plays a part in that. I'm David from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this spring member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sarah Ashworth. Join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
Chances are Wisconsin Public Radio has covered an issue that's very close to you, whether it's gardening or healthcare, the environment or state issues. You can count on WPR for shows that you'll find relevant, interesting, and enjoyable. Because WPR touches your life, make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And sometimes you're surprised you actually do get more than you pay for, and WPR is that one place where that's true every day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
You can't buy all that much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news and information and music possible. That works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I want to thank all of our sustaining members. Thank you so much to everyone who's given so far in this drive. And if you haven't given yet on this last day, you still have time, but not too much. Our spring member drive, it ends at 6 o'clock. So you choose the amount. And the important thing is to make the commitment right now to support the programs that you count on each day at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And this is the last day that you can add the latest WPR t-shirt to your wardrobe. It's soft, it's stylish, it showcases Wisconsin and WPR. And most importantly, it lets everyone know that you're a WPR listener. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And become a sustaining member while you're at it. It is so easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. It makes me smile when I see that each month on my statement. I know I'm doing my part. So get started now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. 2552.
We've heard from David, who says, I listen to WPR for conscientious reporting.
Oh, David, thank you so much for that comment. Now, follow David with your support on this last day of the spring member drive. Your gift right now, it is powerful. It truly makes a difference. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and be part of the spring member drive. And thank you so much for your support. Wisconsin Today producers include Rochelle Wilson and Joe Tarr. Our technical directors are Sarah Hopeful and Tyler Ditter. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to WPR News.